Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch. Oh, it's comedy in your ears, which we all love.
You're listening to the About Last Night podcast with my boy, Adam Ray.
Welcome to King's Guado Hotel. May I have your last name, please?
Good morning, ma'am. Can I help you?
Oh, my, what happened? Oh,
bellmen are clumsy and stupid.
Stella Bellman, you've had this job since high school, right?
Well, actually, now I am the bell captain.
Oh. All right, kid. You ready for check-ins?
I was born.
I think he was going to say I was born ready.
Steve, the captain. Captain Steve.
The closest thing we have to a god on Earth. Gunther Gashamone!
It's worse than I thought.
He's a complete slime ball, right?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Do you feel my foot on your foot?
That's not me.
There's something under the table that feels like a foot.
What are you doing right now?
I'm working.
I got a promotion. I just lied to Kelly.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, man. I just want another shot. Sid Whitman worked his way up the ladder and bought the hotel.
He's the boss.
Do me a favor. Take it easy on the bellman, would you?
I'd rather have Crackguard melt my balls.
Take care, boys.
I mean, it's a huge scam. And those girls were in on it, too.
Don't you want to know what our bodies are capable of?
Yes, girl, yes, definitely.
I just work here during the day, but my nights is off.
Let's do this!
Gunther is conning everyone with Spirit Fresh.
You broke into a guest room!
This is unacceptable!
He has been impersonating a manager, and that is a felony.
I don't think that's a felony.
He should be fired!
Get set! Bunch of really real G's burning trees till we low, sitting by 45 like I'm Jordan on the flow. Here we go, guess the brain is what they say my name for.
I mean, I'm not sure he's ready for...
Shut up, bitch.
With our minds, we begin to urinate, and then, for real, into our pants. I'm unforgettable.
Hi, how are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. How are things?
Oh, look at this. Looking at the actual backdrop of your house that I've only just gotten to see virtually through the gram.
Yes, it's, well, technically my mother's house. However, we might.
Robin.
Robin. Yes, Robin's
house.
You
made her a celebrity.
Oh, she would push me in front of a bus tomorrow if it meant she got to do our meet and greets. So that's where we're at.
Now, let me ask you this. Was your mom, because I feel like... spunk is a good way to describe, you know, what she possesses. I feel like there's a lot of moms that, given the chance, and I'm going to speak for my mom, Puddin, a little Jew from Oklahoma. If she were given the opportunity that you've given your mom, and like, I mean, I think a lot of moms, I think a lot of people in general are like, and this is, you know, what you probably have seen your whole career, where they're like, you know, I'm actually, I'd say actually quite a few funny things. And if like, if that camera, like, if they flipped it around on me, like, you might be out of a job. And I think moms, given the opportunity, more so than dads, are like, oh, yeah, you get any talent from me, you fucking came out of me. You don't think that was attached to talent? And so, but very few actually, it, you know, when given the chance, you know, capitalize. And your mom, I think, is doing a brilliant job.
She's one of those people who truly everything that comes out of her mouth is so raw and real. I mean, it's a liability for sure for my career, she's not trying. Robin is truly never trying. Now, my dad, my late father used to always, he'd be like at the golf club and then he would send me messages. He'd be like, I heard 10 great jokes. Have you got to use it in your set tonight? I'm like, no, Dad, those are jokes that somebody passed around. Like, you know, the golf locker room. Those aren't my jokes. I can't use those.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was for sure my upbringing. But, you know, Robin is, the fame has gone to her head, though. Like, to the point where when we go out in public, and, you know, I have a predominantly female fan base. And so, you know, they're the kind of bitches who come up to you at the mall and they're like, what's good? You're about to, you know, they'll drag you into a Cheesecake Factory to like drink Chardonnay with them. And nothing you just go with it.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that at all. So, but Robin, literally, it's just all gone to her head. So she was actually out at like a Home Goods and she ran into one of my sorority sisters and my sorority sister went up to her and it's this girl named Shally, very Southern name. Love and it. My mom like has known this lady for like 15 years. And she was like, oh, you must know me from the internet. And my girlfriend Shally was like, fuck you, Robin. I've known you for 15 years, but that's like, it literally goes over my mom's head now.
Now, Shally, is that like a classic, is that a typical South move to combine like Shelly and Sally?
It's not even that. It's like two last names. So you'll always have like a Sutton Miller or like a Clayton McDaniels. It's always two last names.
Always something that sounds like it could be like a $7 bottle of wine name.
That or like an old senator. Like for me, when eventually when I do have children, I want them to have such intense names that they sound like old senators.
Like they're ready to run for office like in the fifth grade and win.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, at a state level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I might run for student council treasurer. You're like, bitch, you need to run this state in next semester. Or this Dunkaroos going, you know, back in the cabinet.
Fuck, Dunkaroos?
Yeah, I know.
Miss that shit.
So I know you're like me, an appreciator of snacks, but not like not somebody that's just like, oh, I love a good, I'll dip a chip in just about any, like you know the names you talk about. I think I saw it on some podcast where, was that at Home Goods where you said you get the snacks that are at Home Goods? Was that the store?
Yes, you can get like really good, they'll have like high-end coconut chips. Now they've been there since January. They're like 3 years old, but you are
the manager.
Like yeah, that is true. You are getting the, you know, 6 month old designer coconut chips that you would get at Whole Foods for whole price. But I mean, I love a snack situation in a Whole Foods or in a Home Goods. Here's my thing. My honestly, like 10-year goal, I want to be like Paul Newman and have my own dips. I want to have like a ranch dressing line.
I want my own salsa. How do we do this? You're probably way more on the path to having that happen, but have you started to like mix and match things, or are you starting with like, do you have a guy that's like, you know, like, yeah, I'm a, you know, I can get you a bean dip if you want one by Friday. Like, what is getting these wheels turning for you? Just the straight up.
Here's the deal. I did a little bit of like wedding registry shit at Williams-Sonoma. Wow. And as I was in there, I started seeing some of the other chefs that had dipped. So I got to figure out whose dick I have to suck at Williams-Sonoma.
Yeah.
So that is.
Maybe who, Will, you know, maybe Bill Sonoma.
Maybe Bill Sonoma, straight up.
That guy's got to be just...
And honestly, I'm willing to do it for ranch dressing.
Yeah. By the way, that
I'm a
would
simple
be,
gal.
If you ever end up on the streets, that might be take the cake for homeless signs. Will suck Bill Sonoma's dick for a bean dip recipe. I don't know. I'm paraphrasing. I don't want to tell you what your sign would say, but I feel like...
No, but I feel like that's pretty on the nose. And I would go like, you know, it would be rich dips because I believe... You know, I'm Southern and I went to school in Mississippi, but I don't trust a dip that doesn't have some sort of sour cream or mayonnaise base.
You're
smart. You're in fucking LA. Everything's made out of fucking chickpeas. No. I need like a French onion with full Duke's mayonnaise.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like MSG Hidden Valley Ranch packet in it. That's
wow.
Mine would be an elevated version of those dips, but that's kind of the baseline.
So I don't know if you did anything for 420 last night. I know you enjoy a cocktail, but does that kind of stay out of your rotation?
No, I love a weed moment, but in this quarantine, I feel like it's a dangerous zone because I know I can just really relax. And I haven't smoked since this whole thing started.
Whoa.
And I don't know which way it's going to go. I know. I don't know which way it's going to go.
It's like, a matter of time.
Freak the fuck out.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. It's like, I mean, from being indoors too long. Yeah. Then you start to wonder if there's some sort of like paranormal activity blunt that could slip into your dresser and you're like, I mean, look, I just got a puppy and she started barking at spirits about a month ago. And I called my friend that's like very spiritual and like, you know, is the one that just is locked into astrology and just all the, and Amelia was like, Kaylee, I feel like this would be up your alley. She's like, oh yeah, I have someone, I can give you a number, you can call. And she goes, when does your spirits show up? And I was like, I've been here for about a couple of weeks, like usually at night. She's like, just talk to them. She's like, they're harmless. They're just talk to them. Yeah. Tell me if you want them to chill out during the nighttime, but they can hang out during the day. So then I find myself talking to these spirits in the corner, being like, you guys just want to come back like during the day. Like, and by the way, watch TV. We just got Apple TV. Like, there's some, I don't know if you've seen the morning show yet. It's actually pretty fucking addicting. You can binge that and then peace out. But then, and then come back tomorrow, but leave nighttime for just us. And, but that type of freak out can happen if you get a little high and you are by yourself for too long. So I get why you're holding out on that, but you are missing out on the snacks. And why I brought this up is I last night took a couple puffs and was talking to my buddy about snacks, and we somehow came up with the idea of a snack jacket, what you call a snack it. It's a robe meets a trench coat. Like, you know those old guys on the street, they'd open up the coat and they had like a bunch of watches, all those pouches. Well, take out those watches, put in some, you know, granola bars, anything that's in a wrapper and small that you want to chow down on, and you wrap
perishable items
and and you wrap yourself up in this snack it and you sleep in it. So that way, here's what it was. My brother and I were trying to come up with a reason for my dad, because he snacks a lot, but he takes a lot of sleeping medicine because he's old and he can't fall asleep. But he wakes up at 2 a.m. and stumbles into the kitchen, and I'm like, he's like a fucking pinball machine bouncing off the couch and the counter. I'm like, Dad, I don't want to be your last words, like, I was just trying to get some, you know, fat-free Wheat Thins, and then have you fall to the ground. I go, I understand your fucking what the game plan, but we got to keep you in bed and not sleepwalk. So that's where the snack came up. I don't know if
First of all, I think the snack it is fucking brilliant.
Okay, good.
I didn't realize growing up, like, my dad was a huge stoner. He didn't drink, and I thought it was weird. It wasn't until I was like 13 that my sister pulled me aside and was like, Dad's high all the time. And then it all started to click. Like, my dad was in the kitchen, no underwear. Well, no, underwear on, no pants. If there's no underwear, honestly, that's just how liberal we are in our family. Very progressive household. But he would have like no pants on, just eating like Ruffles out of the bag. And I then it all clicked. I was like, oh, fuck, Dad's high. So I had a little food invention called the zip line dip. So I want you to imagine you take a chicken tender. Cause when I'm like really hungover, I want all the condiments, you know, I like sauces. So you put like a chicken tender on the end of almost like a zip line. And then you have like your ranch, your buffalo, maybe your Chick-fil-A sauce, Polynesian, you know, ketchup, whatever. And then the chicken tender just hits all the sauces right down to your mouth. So you get every flavor. It's like a sauce suicide. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm genius.
Now, these are the types of ideas. Was this a pre-quarantine idea?
Oh yeah, pre-quarantine. This is when I've been in like a level 10 hangover. I can't drink, obviously, like we all said, I can't drink like I used to, but I truly can't.
No.
And I was poisoned in Minneapolis a couple, like 2 months ago. I swear to God, I was like roofied, and I was like, in my hotel room, I was like,
That truly is, I mean, when I hear that from girls who say that, I've heard people be like, oh, you just got too fucked up. Like, you love to say that you got roofied. And I'm like, and then like, I'm out at bars enough and meet people after shows. And I'm like, oh no, you definitely have roofie energy. Like, just even the way the guy like complimented me sounded like he was trying to slip me something. Like, so I get it. But I do. So you got poisoned. And then what happened?
I was fully poisoned. That's all I can say. Cause I've never, I'm a dense chick. It takes a lot to like put me down. I'm never that girl who's like sloppy and like wasted. But the next day I woke up and felt like it was just another level. It wasn't even a college hangover. I'd never been this hungover before. And here's the thing, in Minneapolis, the Midwest gets you. They're really nice. Everyone's super kind, take the shirt off their back, and then they roofie you. So you gotta sleep with one eye open, you know, at the strip clubs in Minneapolis.
Oh my God, dear diary. Yeah,
Diary.
I love that you are a true, like, let's feed the body what it needs in the hangover state, because when I've been hungover and people are like, oh, I just need something good today. I'm like, dude, just get that pizza, get that burger. Like, your body doesn't want that. This is, if you want to get on the road to recovery, you need to, fucking park the ship in Doritos Lake, not fucking kale. The KLC. There's a better analogy for that. Well,
No, I know exactly what you're saying. I used to do the thing, because now it's like mind over matter. Like, you feel too fucking guilty being hungover.
I know.
So I'll get up and I'll like make a smoothie and I'll like dry heave it down, you know, but I'm like, once that Spirulina hits me, I'll be good. And then I'm in like an In-N-Out drive through like an hour later. I've noticed like the anxiety is so bad now. I mean, I'm only 33, but I still get that like, there's shit I got to do today.
Oh,
you know, I feel like the clock is ticking.
Well, I love that you say, have you always, you're big tour that was crushing, and I'm sure we'll resume when we get out of this.
Yeah.
You've only been on that tour for how long?
We started in like August and in December. So, and it was called the Farewell Tour.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was my first headlining tour. So I was like, oh, let's see how this goes. It could be the first and possibly the last. And then it just like took off and it was insane. And I feel so grateful for it. So I was supposed to be touring right now. And then of course, like everybody else, you know, shit hit the fan. And now I guess we're going to go out on the road in August, but I'm like, does anybody want to fucking go to shows? I don't know. I have no idea what the right call is.
I think you're going to get a mix of people that are willing to roll the dice and people that are, they also just might do a, I was talking to my buddy that runs five comedy clubs in Arizona and he's like, you know, they got some big venues and he's like, maybe instead of, you know, one's a 600 seat venue, a stand-up live. And he goes, maybe we only do 300 seats, but we really spread people out. And then there's, no, I mean, there's ways to do it, but then it's like, maybe they charge more for the ticket because it's more of a select, you know, experience. But I don't know. I think I would love to think that that's, cause that's like what, 4 months away or less. I would like to think that things are somewhat curved by then, but then it's like, I get on this positive track and then literally all it takes is like today where they're like, it's coming back in January and then it's gonna kill everybody. Oh, you better not fucking be the age of 58 and love beef jerky. Cause that's who it's coming.
You're fucked. Yeah. Oh, I 100% I'm on board with you on that. And my thing is, I'm in this household where like my mom's 72 and she's kind of to the point where I think it's just because we have not let her out of the house. She thinks half of this is fake. You know, she gets like on the dark web. And you know, is this a conspiracy theory? And she's a rational woman, but I think it's just because of all of her girlfriends are like, why aren't they letting us out of the house situation? They're really projecting it about themselves. And then my sister, who's the attorney, is just like, these are the facts. We're all going to die within a week. So I don't know where the fuck to land. God, you know, I'm just, damn. You know, I'm drinking, you know, margaritas out of a mason jar. This is where I'm at. You
I've known you for a good chunk of time, but my friend Becky Robinson really got me on the Heather McMahon
Love
train.
Becky.
Yeah. And then I also started getting blown up by people just that were saying like, you got to have Heather on the podcast. And it's one of those things too. Like I just had my high school football coach on the podcast because it was just like, there's certain people where you just also, I create sometimes this thing of like, oh, they're so busy and this and that. Right. And then sometimes I'll just go, ah, fuck it. Let me reach out and see what happens. And I think,
no, this is an honor. You have no idea. Okay. So kind of creepy, but not. I saw you when you performed at the Punchline in Atlanta like 5 years ago. You did a weekend there. Do you remember this?
Oh my God. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Did we talk after the show?
I came up to you and I think I was like, you were fantastic. I'm a big fan. So I had just moved home.
In Buckhead, right?
Yes, in Buckhead. I went up to you after the show because—
Do we have a child?
No, we could have. Yes, yes, yes.
What if that's where this builds to and you go—
Yeah,
Cameron?
And here is your son. No. I took my mom. My mom was trying to definitely hit that. She was newly widowed. And I was like, Mom, I'll take you to see this comedian who I love, Adam. And he's like really cute and adorable. And she had the fucking time of her life. But it was so funny. I just moved home after, you know, doing comedy in LA. And I was like fucking depressed. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Why am I back in Atlanta? I'm grieving my dad, all this shit. And I went and saw you. I was like, this is, you literally re-inspired me to be like, fuck this. I'm in a shitty situation, but let's keep going. And I was like, I got to get back into stand up. And here we are.
My God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess what you're saying is I get, 10% of the fucking,
go fuck yourself.
Zipline bean dip. Like, honestly, still a businesswoman. Fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, I think my comedy career is definitely on the up. I thought you were going to ask for a chunk of that tour money, but the zip dip though is actually a bigger threat.
Oh.
It's a bigger threat. That's where I'm really going to cash out.
Wait a sec. So you are from, where exactly
Atlanta.
In the South? Okay.
I'm from Atlanta.
All right.
I moved to New York right after college, was doing like UCB. I was more in the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah.
Sketch comedy, SNL.
So was I, by the way. That was, yeah. And then.
That was it.
Yeah. Why did you then switch over to stand-up?
Well, I had been doing stand-up. So I did stand-up at my high school prom. I started doing stand-up like really when I was in high school. I basically like roasted the senior class. It's very weird. I went to this weird Christian school. And at that moment I was like, oh, this is my love. So right after high school, I got an internship with Jeff Foxworthy and I was like a writer's assistant on his show.
That's amazing.
Honestly, the nicest guy. Literally nicest guy.
I would expect nothing less. He seemed, yeah. I mean, he just seems like, I don't know, like he's probably doing this right now, like drinking margaritas and.
Yeah, and, chilling.
Oh my God. How did you get that gig?
I sent him my audition tape from my high school prom and he was like, great, you want an internship? So I worked for him for a summer, went to school. Then I moved to New York, was doing comedy, UCB there.
Wait,
and then I made
real quick, roasting at a Christian school. How edgy can the jokes be? Because if it was enough to get Foxworthy's attention, you know what I'm saying?
I gotta be honest with you.
Were you basically going like, if you go to a Christian school and you haven't had butt sex, you might be a, like, what was it that got him?
Well, honestly, he probably didn't even get at the jokes because I was roasting specific people, but oh, gotcha. It was pretty savage for what I was able to get away with. The last joke was something about this girl had gotten kicked out of her school because she stole another mom's credit card and like literally took off to Vegas. This girl, yeah. So I was like, and in the end, or in like in 10 years, Allison will still be paying off credit card debt. Like mic drop. No, and then I re-picked up the mic and I was like, and Brendan, you could have had this. It was this kid I had a crush on. I think that was, he was like,
which is the whole reason you were doing the roast in the first place. Yeah.
100%.
Brendan, dick.
He ended up being a degenerate gambler and might be a homosexual. So, you know, things worked out the way they're supposed to. Mm-hmm.
I always say that too. Like there's kids that I used to be so jealous of that would like get high and party with their parents in like eighth grade. And then even into high school, and they were like, yeah, I smoked pot with my dad. And I was like, fuck. I was like, dad, oh, you left when I was nine. But I'd be like, hey, where, mom, why don't we party? She's like, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. And then you grow up and like see him giving out samples at Costco and you're like, all right, this again, you know, played out the way it was supposed to. You partied too early and now Costco has a plan for you.
I'm just kidding. There's nobody there. Hey guys, comedian Adam Ray here. Hope you're enjoying this episode of the About Last Night podcast. Boy, I got to tell you, I've been feeling good lately. And the reason why? Koi CBD. That's right. Back in the game. Feeling like my best self. Look, Koi CBD is the best CBD company in the business. I don't care what you hear from other people, other comics, Koi CBD. See, I got so much BBD, CBD inside me, I ain't even fucking talking right. You know why? Because I slept well on the Koi CBD gummies. That's right. They've got everything from tinctures to bath bombs to gummies. They got a skincare line coming soon. They got hand sanitizer. During these times, it's very important. So, what you want to do, if you want to start feeling like your best self, you want to take some Koi CBD bombs, put them in the bath, okay? What? Yeah, come on in. Jackson, I'm doing an ad for my podcast. Can you say hi?
Hello.
Say, I use CBD gummies.
I use CBD gummies.
From Koi.
From Koi.
Koi's the best.
Koi's the best.
It makes me feel good.
It makes me feel good.
I feel like my best self.
I feel my best self.
Look at these muscles.
Look at these muscles.
Kiss them. If you get Koi CBD right now, you go to KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight, and you get 20% off your first order. That's incredible. Bath bombs, tinctures, skincare, hand sanitizer, gummies. They've got everything. They're my favorite. It's who I use. So start using it for you too. I can't recommend these guys enough. They're homies and all this shit works. Jackson, say 20% off.
20% off.
If you use the promo code AboutLastNight.
If you use the promo code AboutLastNight.
About last night.
About last night.
Show them those guns again. Kiss them. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Did Foxworthy give you any comedy advice that really stuck during that intern?
He treated me so well. Yeah, and I mean, he was just like, go for it. And it's funny because, you know, I know his kids and it's just this weird world. And the job was so hard because, you know, you were dealing with all these like producers from LA and I was just this young 18-year-old kid who wanted to be in the writer's room rewriting jokes and shit. No, he was just like, go for it. And then so I moved to New York and I was in New York for 5 years doing that. And then I moved out to LA and, you know, the grind in LA. And I kind of had this like life altering moment where I had to move home after my dad died very suddenly of cancer. And then I was like sitting in Atlanta, like, what the fuck am I going to do? I've had to give up my entire career in LA. And it was only supposed to be temporary. I was like, I'm going to come home for a couple months. But you know, you get in that real deep self-loathing like moment.
Of course. And also like I mean, you know, I don't know how much you've spoken about it, but your only child? No, you have sister.
No, sister. Yeah.
So, I mean, you said it unexpectedly. So there's no first of all, death sucks, however you slice it, especially unexpectedly like that is even more daunting where there's no prep. And you probably had thought as far as I'm going to go home to be with my mom, right? To comfort her. That was probably your main thing. And just, and maybe you didn't even put a timetable on even a few months. I'm sure there was probably in the back of your head, like loose thoughts of like, until I feel comfy that she's comfy, that I can jump back in, but also jump back into where you feel like you can and actually feel like you want to be funny, right? Like, because I'm sure a part of that gets taken away for a beat, and you're like, well, where do I get the desire to want to make
it? It all feels it feels trivial. You're like, okay, stand up. Like, y'all want to know the real shit. Like, you just become very raw.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing was, I started then, Instagram stories had just become a thing. And I really had gotten known for like my character stuff for UCB.
Yeah.
And then once Instagram stories became a thing, I just started essentially doing stand up in a different form. It was just very cathartic and started openly talking about things on Instagram, and it just took off like wildfire. So it's like, it's to me, the glass is like, I don't know. It just was all very full circle. I'm like, I didn't know I had to come home after my dad died to Atlanta for my career to like finally click, you know? It was weird.
Well, I'm sure it's like, but you just
now
said, like,
here we are.
Yeah. Like, do you remember, was there one video or story that you put up that either felt cathartic to do, where you felt like there was a mentality shift with like, I'm going to really let my guard down? And did your dad passing, do you think, play into that, to where you were like, it can't get any, like, I'm just curious, like, what about that experience made you go like, fuck it? Cause I think that's what a lot of people, and especially in comedy, strive for and struggle with, is to completely be yourself. And as much, I know I'm always like, bad line of how much to share on like podcasts or certain things.
Yeah.
And I feel like I am me, but then sometimes I'm like, well, maybe I should dive into more of this stuff. But then I'm like, well, there should be some mystery, and also some stuff I just don't feel like sharing. And I think there's a way to still be you to the world and to, you know, your fans and to, but then I see some of my comedy friends just fucking say it all, bear it all on podcasts. And they subscribe to that. And they're like, you know, they've definitely blown up because of that, because they're, you know, you can see a need from people to really want that as a way to connect. But so what was the one thing that you felt like you put out where you were like, all right, this is Heather?
I don't know if it was necessarily one thing, but it's so interesting. I think when you live in like New York and LA, your perspective, your point of view is so, it can get a little jaded sometimes, right? Yep. I mean, we all know this. And it was like, once I removed myself from that situation, I literally was like, 30 living at home with my mother, having this oh fuck moment, that so many people related to it. It just gave me a different like point of view and perspective. And I was just able to talk in like a totally new tone, but I just had real shit to say. And I think it just made the comedy that much richer. You know, it's like, well, this is the God's honest fucking truth. I can't change it. And so many people related to it. And now everything else, they're just like, we're along for the ride. She's fucking nuts. Let's go.
And you said you've kind of dialed in on a mostly female demo that that I, you know, watched so many different, you know, Today Show, so many news, radio, podcast outlets of people that love to like sum you up and the following that you've cultivated. How would you describe the people that have latched on to your comedy and your brand?
You know, it's cool. I mean, it is predominantly women. And I think what I get told, at least at the meet and greets, it's funny. It's really all demographics, but it's a lot of women, like young girls, like young college girls are bringing their moms and their grandmothers like to the shows, which I'm like, hey, the more the merrier. But I think I'm able to say what a lot of women are feeling right now, but say it in sort of a non-cunty way. Like, there's still like an element of cunt, but I'm able to say what they're feeling.
But doesn't everybody have an element of cunt?
Yes.
Like, we all, like,
if you've got a cunt, you're a cunt, you know. Plain and simple.
By the way, the element of cunt sounds like it could be your memoir, that is just like kind of touching on the idea that like it's okay because we all have a little bit of, you know, cuntiness in us that just, you know, some of us
write that down. You try to take 10 more percent. Fuck you. Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's been wild. These shows have been crazy, you know, and when you had your little cult following or whatever, when you're doing these improv shows and sketch, and I was doing more of that.
You did,
so
yeah.
People are really shocked. Yeah. And so I think people are now like, oh shit. When they see it translate from like Instagram and into the live shows, they're like, oh shit. All right. We're in it.
Your characters,
so, I mean, it's been cool.
Your characters are so good. And so just grounded too, like, which is why, like, you're a perfect example of like someone that would crush on SNL, where it's your characters are larger than life, but have, you know, like what Will Ferrell I think is so good at, where it's like you still feel like it's a real person and not so right. cartoony and hyped up. You know, sometimes you can see where someone's clearly like, oh yeah, it's just, it's a real jokey thing, but I can't actually get invested because I, it's more fun if I can be like, oh, is Brenda Carlisle like a real person? You know what I'm saying?
100%. Yeah. Brenda Carlisle is like loosely based off a hodgepodge of a bunch of my sorority sisters' moms. When I went to the University of Mississippi and I like joined this Delta Gamma, it was founded at Ole Miss, you know, and I'm standing wow. there on the lawn at midday and all these women show up decked head to toe in Chanel and they're all like smoking Virginia Slims. They've got more money on than they know what to do with. And I was like, where the fuck am I? Like, it was just, you know, and there's a thing in the South where people just say whatever the hell they want. You know, you instead it's like, I always say instead of gossiping, you have a prayer request. You know, it's like, well, we need to pray, you know, for Tina McCain because she had a boob job last week and hope she's healing okay. So let's put that in our prayer request. You know, it's that. It's like that backhanded kind yeah. of bullshit. Like, yeah, go yeah. fuck yourself. But there's like there's a through line in all of my characters are just like highly overly confident.
Yeah.
And I think that's truly me coming out. Even as a kid, I was just like, all right, fuck it. Let's go for it. If they hate it, they hate it. Like, I just don't care anymore.
So you were fearless. You were fearless as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, here's the thing. My sister's like Mensa smart. And my parents, when they got my SAT scores back, they were like, okay, well, didn't really crack 1,000. yeah. So at that point, they were
just like, go with God, do comedy. Yeah.
I don't know how, like, I don't know how I got into college. Oh, wait, I went to the University of Mississippi. They let me in because I could read. I don't fucking know. You do good characters, though. Fuck it. What is it, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah.
Jeremy is literally making me piss myself. I followed your comedy forever, but I'm fucking dying. Also, it's like a pop-in braces retainer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I did this little, you know, yeah, like characters I've just always, it's been, and that's what I wanted to ask you, too. Like, do you enjoy being you more online and being yourself? And if you were to like build a show around you, would you want to play yourself or do characters? Because
right.
I always thought, you know, and from what you hear and what people tell you, like find that show for you. And I've tried to do that. And then I shot this full pilot where I did three different characters in prosthetics playing the three people in the show. And one of them was this kid, Jeremy. And so I had a teeth mold thing made with the braces. And so that I just
kept so good.
To fuck around with. But what do you prefer? Like, it's a different,
you know, it's interesting.
Right?
I was so all in with the characters. And then I was basically doing these essentially SNL auditions every other weekend. You're doing Just for Laughs. You're doing these showcases. By the 10th showcase in a week, you just want to like blow your brains out. You're like, I can't, I'm done. TSA starts to look at you weird because I just travel around like a suitcase full of fucking wigs. You know, they're like, you have a weird sex fetish. I'm like, no, I'm a comedian. I'm like, okay, go fuck yourself. I don't know. I love the characters because they make me laugh so hard, but it's been so refreshing getting back into stand-up and just, you know, telling your stories. So I got burnt out for a little while on the characters. Cause then when you don't get on SNL, you're like, I could burn all these wigs in a hot fire, you know?
You're like so many wigs.
I mean, so many wigs. And there's so much pressure right now. I mean, you get it in like quarantine. People are like, where's the content?
Yeah.
You know, like you need to be doing a character a day. I'm like, guys, I just want to stare at the fucking wall right now and let my new dog like lick my toes. Like, I don't want to fucking think. I'm not feeling creative.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you feel the pressure to like make shit right now?
1,000%. And even I'll have those thoughts where it's like, I just want to let my dog lick my toes. And then I'll be like, a guy who wants his dog to lick his toes. New character. You know, and it's like, no, it's not. Yeah. Don't start tricking yourself because you're so starved for content. I try to balance it out. And the same stand-up where it's like, live a life worth writing about. I try to do enough stuff so that I have at least, you know, I'm doing some Zoom stand-up shows here and there. And, you know, I'll do a bunch of the stuff I've been doing and would be doing right now. But it's difficult to not have new things to want to work. And obviously, this will be a lot of almost the way like when Trump got elected, what a lot of comics will be talking about when things resume, because
right.
it's what we all went through. It's a nice common denominator, and then like, you know, what's everyone has different experiences and perspectives. And I try to though think about things that are real specific to me and what's going on, like being up in Oregon with my dad right now, and trying to like just everything that's going on with, you know, his wife and hospice and all this stuff. There's a lot of funny that's going on with that that's specific. So I'm trying to like keep my brain in the mode of like, okay, well, what's my quarantine been like versus like just the kind of, I don't know, generals that like probably like, you know, Seinfeld, I'm sure will have great just, you know, stuff that everyone's going through that's more relatable, but
he'll have like 55 masks jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I can see this set now.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I am so sorry that you're going through that with, you know, your family, but I'll tell you, like on my current tour right now, my last 30 minutes is just talking about my dad dying in the hospital and how fucking dark and twisted and funny it was. And I found, I'm like, that's the funniest shit ever. So I'm sure in hospice care, as traumatizing as it is now, absorb as much as you can, because you'll look back in a fucking month, 2 months, and you're like, what the fuck was going on?
Yeah.
Is it in-home hospice care, or are you having to go to hospice?
Yeah. So she was in the hospital and they brought her back. And it's, and I did want to ask you that, cause that's, you know, I've had, you know, some close buddies pass and grandparents and now stepmom, which is still not, you know, I'm here for my dad, and it's more excruciating seeing him be so bummed out. And I'm, you know, it's awful, but again, there's a more of a disconnect for me with her than there is with him. So processing all that, but when did you feel comfortable to even let your brain try to find comedy in what happened with your dad? And was it like a year? Would you stop yourself if you started to write a joke? Because you're like, what am I doing? This, I need to be grieving.
No, honestly, it was immediate. So just a little backstory. My dad died of pancreatic cancer, but from the day of death to the day of diagnosis to the day of death, it was 7 days. So it was like, I mean, I thought he was going to have a heart attack at Waffle House one day. I was like, oh, that's his path. So the fact that we were like dealing with cancer, I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Everything was insane. Like, we flew him to MD Anderson, which is a big cancer hospital in Houston. We're like, we got him in the best care. Everything just moves so quickly. But the biggest thing was the relatives that come out of the woodwork that are like asking for shit. You're like, he's not even dead yet, and y'all want a fucking handout.
His
funeral. Oh yeah. His funeral alone was a shit show. Everything that happened in the hospital was ridiculous. Just, you could not make this shit up. And so for me, it was immediate. I mean, I didn't like share about it on Instagram just yet, but then once I started talking about it, you know, people would invite me on their podcast. I was like, I got to get this off my chest. And I just realized it was the funniest, rawest, realest shit. The best material comes out of death. It really does. Because you're like, people turn into savages. People just turn into idiots. And then like, I turn into an idiot. I can't function. I had a nervous breakdown at a Costco one day right after my dad passed. This is so embarrassing.
That sounds like a Garth Brooks lyric.
No, literally.
A nervous breakdown at a Costco. Oh my God.
I went to get
the worst place to have a breakdown. It's so public.
It's so public.
And
you know, I know that I'm on. Yeah. I know I'm on like a sheet somewhere that's like, this big bitch comes for too many samples, purchases nothing. Like, I know I'm that chick. I went to go check out, you know, you have your membership card. Well, I just picked like the Rolodex of cards out of my mom's drawer, and I didn't realize I had my dad's Costco card. And they were like, oh, I'm so sorry. Can you call your dad? Because we need to get him to verify it, because he needs to renew his membership. My middle name is Kyle, for Heather Kyle, which is my dad's name, Kyle McMahon. And I was like, I can't fucking call him because he's motherfucking dead, you goddamn bitch. Brenda, this poor woman's like crying at Costco. I'm crying. I'm like, everybody can go fuck themselves, not just run out of the store. Of course, this is a Costco where everybody, you know, in the neighborhood knows you. Three people that I knew from the club witness this. I'm like, oh my God. Run into a friend in the parking lot because she sees me hysterically crying. She's like, are you good? You know that you're going to be banned from this Costco. The woman ends up following me out, who worked at Costco, to apologize. I was apologizing. I'm just like, I can never go to this Costco again. This woman had no idea that he was dead, you know? And I just took it out on her, because in that moment, I was like, how fucking dare you ask me to call my dead father? You know, I'm going to burn this place down.
You know what? Let me call him. Would that make you happy? Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, dad. Just kidding. He's fucking dead. Oh my God. That is.
I do love being at my mom's house though, because she still has that landline and we do get the telemarketer callers. My favorite fucking thing every day is, you know, they're like, is Kyle McMahon there? I'm like, if you've seen him, let me know. We've been waiting for 5 goddamn years.
Oh,
and they just get so uncomfortable. It like fills me with joy now. I love it. I love a dead dad joke. Yeah.
That's,
and the good thing is, he's not coming back, so therefore I can always use that. Like, I don't care if I'm 102. I'll be like, I don't know if you know this, but my dad died, so I'm going to need you to ease up on me. Like, I'll use it to get free shit for the rest of my life. He would want it. You know?
There was that's I love that mindset. There was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm once. I don't know if you ever watched that show, but where Larry's...
Of course, the best. I saw you on it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, for a hot minute. It was... truly the greatest day ever, because that's my favorite show and he's just a god. But it's like, I tried to go, look, I don't know how they're going to cut this. I had a couple buddies that got their shit straight up cut out. So the fact that my scene,
right,
you know, it's like you shoot so much and then the scene was a minute. So I'm like, and when I was complaining to one of my buddies, he's like, your shit's, he's like, you fucking, so a lot of the jokes you wanted to be in there weren't in there. He's like, my shit's not even in there. And I was like, all right, good point. There was an episode where his mom passed and then he started like using it to, like, if people would stop him for, as he calls them, stopping chats that he didn't want to have, he just cut them off like right as they started. Yeah. Be like, I don't know if you know this, but my mom died. They go, oh, Larry, I'm so sorry. Well, I'll leave you be. Have a good day. And like, he was using it to get out of so much stuff.
I use it for everything now, because I'm like, I mean, it's not like you're lying. And if you're fucking dead, it is what it is. I'll tell you this. If you go to like a makeup counter, now you're a gentleman, you obviously don't frequent those a lot. If you did, more power to you. But I would go and get like really expensive makeup shit at like Saks or Neiman's, go to the makeup counter, look a little distraught. And I'd be like, I'm so sorry. My dad's funeral's tomorrow. And I flew in town. I forgot my makeup kit. And I just end up with free fucking samples of like really expensive, like Chanel lip glosses, like, you know, skincare products that are worth $300 a tube. And they were just like, honey, take it, take it. And I do that all the fucking time.
Oh my God.
I don't even carry a makeup kit. I'm like, let's just go to the mall. I got it.
Sweetheart, take this whole bag of Estee Lauder stuff and, you know, give it out to everyone at the wake. Yeah. It's actually perfect wake lipstick. Oh my God.
100%. Yeah. I do not feel guilty. I'm like, well, he's fucking dead. So I want to ask you about your audition process for Curb, if you don't mind talking about it.
Oh, please.
My girlfriend Megan Ferguson was on this season.
Who was
she? Plays a girl who chokes, who gets sexually harassed.
Oh my God. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh,
brilliant.
Man, what a great arc. She's in like 3 or 4 episodes.
I know. I was just like, I need to know everything. Was it, did you shit your pants in the parking lot? Because to me, Curb is, I peaked. I'm done.
I know.
I can die now.
I mean, it's one of those shows that I literally think we all have them. You know, The Office is probably another one where you, if you're falling asleep, you don't want anything to think about. I've seen every episode 50 times. I can quote shit. It's just like, I know when the fight's about to build. So if there's a part that I'm falling asleep and it's going to be on, I'm going to watch that one part and then go to bed. I mean, know it forwards and backwards. So, and Jeff Garland's become a good buddy of mine. So, you know, he allowed me to geek out a little bit and just getting to know him and ask him certain things and, you know, wasn't it appropriate? And Allison Jones, who cast it, you know, is the one who put me in the heat and, you know, a couple other things. And so I would always bug her if, is it coming back? Blah, blah, blah. When it does, I'll audition for something that's a line and the guy walks out, or even if I could just be on set, like was grilling her for that type of an experience. So auditioning, you know, it's, again, they give you a little sheet that has a couple bullet points of Uber driver. At one point, Larry is going to ask you what his rating is, and you tell him he's 1 star. And that's pretty much it. And I walk in and Jeff Shaver's in there and Larry Charles and Allison and Garland and a few writers, and Larry's in there. And I was like nervous, but also, you know, you just feel like some things you just go, you know what? Everything led me to this point and I'm ready. Take a deep breath, like trust your shit. And I know the show so well. So I know, because they're like, don't try to be funny. So I'm like, cool. But I also, you need to be funny. So you need to recognize when I was like, I'm not going to try to out of the gate come with funny lines. I'm going to try to plant a seed for Larry to build an argument, because that's selfishly just what I wanted to be able to like hear a Curb style fight just so I could have that outer body experience.
Yeah.
And then I can play, have jokes in that, because then it'll be a real fight. Now it's just whatever. But, so he sat behind me like in the car, and just hearing him talk and me talk back and forth to him, like, no joke, like, definitely little outer body, because I'm like, I feel like I'm listening to an episode right now. So that's what was, and right. then I had to take myself out of that so I could actually respond to what he was saying. And I made him break a couple times, and then we did it again. And then I came back and they had me do the other Uber driver for that episode that had like an Eastern European accent. The other guy had a better accent, so it went to him. But I walked out, called my mom, and I was like, you know, the audition, like, that was so amazing. If I don't get it, whatever. And then like a minute later, I'm like, fuck that. If I don't get this, I'm quitting the business. And right. So it's like, you know, and then it was cool. But I just tried to, you know, soak it all up. And again, like, not knowing how much would end up in there. But he was so gracious, and he's so meticulous with everything that's being said. And we did like maybe 8 takes on the day of us in the car. And he wanted to make sure we didn't do anything the same. But if I said something, he was like, maybe say something like that again so we can go down a different path. But, you know, and like after the first 4 takes on the shoot day, I wasn't making them break the way I did in the audition. So now I'm getting in my head being like, fuck. And then
right.
we were about to do 1 last take. And they were like, all right, and I was like, oh, there, are we starting from the spot? Or are we just going to jump, pick up from the middle? And then they just said action. And then it just started, and it kind of took me out of my head, and it ended up being the longest take we did. And every take was averaging about like 3 to 5 minutes. This one went about like, you know, 9, 10. And we had mm-hmm. a lot of good lines, and I was just dialed in. And then after that one, he just you know, got out and gave me a bump and was like, fucking, that was it. And so then I'm like, all right, cool. Now I feel like there's stuff to pull from, because up until that point, I was like,
right.
They're not going to use any yeah. of this. Like, this is terrible. But
right.
But also, again, trying.
Well, unless you're like,
oh, go ahead.
I feel like JB Smoove on that show is the only one who's like, oh. really, like, he's got the fucking lines, and then everybody else is just playing the scene as honestly and yeah. as they can.
That's
right?
That's like, the challenge too. It. You're just trying to be like straight yeah. man, but also like, you want your. I just wanted to fight with him. You know, like, I wanted like
yeah
for him. Like, he was like, we had a bunch of stuff too. Where at one point he's like, I'm like. He's like, I says I'm 1 star. I'm like, hey, you got 1 star. And he's like, I don't feel like a 1 star. And I was like, says you're 1 star. I was like, and I gotta be honest, man, when you came in, you definitely had 1 star energy to you. He's like, what do you mean 1 star? I was like, ah, you look like a guy that's gonna maybe bust out some drugs or pulling some strangers, have me pull over, you know, bring someone in. There's gonna be some sucking and fucking. Like, you look like, he's like, there's no sucking and fucking with me. I'm like, you seem like a sucking fuck guy, dude. And it just became this all. And in my head, I'm like, oh, please God, let them keep this. Cause it was like hearing yeah. him be like, I don't suck and fuck. And I'm like, dude, you seem like, I don't know in what order, but you fucking suck, or vice versa, dude. He's like that. I'm like, and that's how you get right. 1 star. I'm like, it's a gamble that I'm even picking you up, you know? But yeah, but how much.
God, I would just love just an improvised audition. Oh, if yeah. I have to go in for
You'll
another
get it.
Fucking pilot read, I'm at this point, I was like, I tested for 2 things this last season. And I was like, literally, it's always for like 40-year-old moms who are tired. They have 3 kids and they're trying to like get their groove back. And then I would go in and I'm like, I'm 33. I have no children. I don't know if I just look really fucking tired. But I probably would just call my agents and be like, this is insane. Like, what are we doing here? I just can't.
They're doing another season of Curb. Do you know Allison? Have you ever read
Putting it out there. No, I've never read for Allison.
Oh, you know what I'll do? I email with her on the reg. I'll just straight up, you send me something that you got, I'll just forward it on. And she's man, you would crush.
You're my boy. I would love. Well, and I'm marrying the Italian version of Larry David. Like, my fiance Jeff is literally Larry David. Everything's just like, oh my God, he's so, it's just everything's exaggerated. You know, Jones on Third in LA.
Yeah, I love it.
The restaurant. Yeah, I love it. We were there and I got a side of Rancher's Club sandwich and he was like, what do you mean? This is $3.50 extra. And I'm like, Joe, we have money. He's like, it's the principal.
Is he Joe Pantoliano meets Fran Drescher?
100%. Yeah. Knew exactly that's where you're going to go with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Joan, who's like the only celebrity I've ever geeked out about who owns Jones on Third, comes around and I'm like, shut the fuck up, Jeff. It's goddamn Joan. Like, do not embarrass me in front of the woman who makes the greatest Chinese chicken salad on the planet.
It is.
And of course, Jeff's like, this is the best ranch dressing I've ever had. After he's drank it, I'm just like, everything. It's just, I'm like, this is fucking Italian Larry David. I can't. Grumpy old man. like, we got this new puppy and he's just yelling at the dog. Like the dog understands. He's like, why are you crying, Rigatoni? Like, you need to be in your crate. It's a safe space. I'm like, the dog has no fucking idea what you're saying, Jeff. Just shut the fuck up. You know, I'm done with you.
Does he enjoy? I saw you did a little thing with him where you gave him a haircut and he was like, so
yeah.
His involvement in your stories is like perfect, where he's like not annoyed, but he's not also like, put the camera right on me, you know? So it's like a great balance of like, yeah, I'll be involved. I recognize what this is for you. and to let me play a part is kind of crucial to the whole thing.
Well, he's not started seeing the paycheck. So he's a bottom line kind of money guy. So he was wait, what? And so that really, he was like, I don't give a fuck what you do on the internet. He loves this shit. Are you kidding me? The thing is, too, like, everybody who tunes in, they know my mom, they know my sister, they know Jeff. It's kind of like a family ordeal, you know, right? And like you were asking earlier. Yeah, and everyone's just like, okay, like you were saying earlier, how much do you share? Well, at this point, I share everything. But no, Jeff loves it. He gets recognized. We live in New York. He gets recognized on the street, and he's just like he just oozes douchiness because he just is obsessed with it. He pretends like he doesn't like, you know, and the attention, and then when I put the light on him, he finds his light a little too quickly. He loves this shit. Don't let him play you. Yeah.
Do you ever?
Yeah, he loves it.
Do you ever like you were doing a story the other night? I think it was your dogs were. You were. It was taking you a while to go to sleep, right? And you were kind of doing stories on your dogs. Was that was the issue, right? That was kind of prolonging.
Yeah. Well, we have a brand new puppy that we're trying to puppy train, but we also have my sister's Frenchie here because we're all quarantined together. So it's like, it's just a shit show. I feel like I have a newborn baby. You know, I'm not sleeping, and I've just gone fucking crazy. One, being locked up with my family in the house, but then two, going on like 2 hours of sleep because you're crate training. Last night I said, fuck it. They slept in the kitchen. Gang, gang. I don't care. I'm done. Like, and I slept. I was like, mommy needs a joint and a Xanax and a glass and a mason jar margarita. I can't. I'm over it.
I
don't want children after this quarantine. You don't have kids.
No, I mean, I've got, I've done the uncle of the year thing pretty hard for about 7, 8.
Yeah.
9, 10, they're 10 now, the twin girls, and my nephew's 5. They're now, and they're still great. They're starting to like just shift into like, you know, like Uncle Adam, like you can't, like that dance is not TikTok approved, like, or just right. Bitchy shit. And but the idea of having, I mean, my sister literally, my brother-in-law went out on some giveaway site and got a trampoline. Because they were like, dude, if we don't do something, we're going to like lock these kids outside, put them in the garage, or literally put them in a truck and drive it off the bridge, because they were like going fucking crazy. 10, 10 and 5. And it was just like, it's just too much. And also, you know, they're starved for other probably adult interaction. And, but yeah, this has definitely shined a light on the idea that I'm like, oh, I like being, you know,
I'm not ready.
Yeah. What about your?
Well, it's funny. So many of my girlfriends. He wants kids, but I think after this puppy training, this crate training, I'm like, Jeff, I've gotten a glimpse of like what it's going to be like when we have a baby. Because, you know, the woman's really truly the person who has to get up in the middle of the night and stick a kid on their tit.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Jeff, what are you going to, what are you going to do when we have an infant? You can't talk to your kid that way. They don't understand what they're saying. Like, there's like a year of this kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff just tries to have a rational conversation with the fucking dog. And then he's like pissing and moaning in the middle of the night. Like, oh my God, this dog's so fucking loud. I'm like, shut the fuck up. It's a puppy. So I'm the one getting up, soothing it, you know, all this shit. But it's funny. All my girlfriends who have kids, my girlfriend Mary called me the other day. She's like, I now understand those women who put all their kids in a minivan and drive it off a cliff. She's like, before I judged them. Now I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like,
you're like, what bridge did they drive off of? Where was that? Yeah.
Right.
I know there is.
100%.
It must be a dude thing too, because my dad, you know, he's got two little dogs, and one of them is blind and pretty deaf. She'll just constantly walk around bumping into shit. And then just turn and bark at a corner. And my dad will be like, Mindy, lay down. Mindy, lay down. And I'm like, Dad, I love you, but you're wasting words. Like, you're screaming at a blind, deaf dog that is 17. I think they actually thought, and he thought it was 14. And my brother found some papers. Like, Dad, I think Mindy's 17. He's like, oh, what? I'm like, dude, so even more reason to not try to give her any direction at this point in life. She's on her,
right?
She's doing her bucket list shit. She's like, look, I've always wanted to bump into a chair. You know, I wanted to fucking. I wanted to take a shit and walk through it a couple times. Like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing at 17.
And they do that as puppies too.
Oh yeah.
There's so much shit trampling. It's unbelievable. I'm like trying to praise the dog. Oh good. And then he just runs right through it. And it's like 3 a.m. I'm in the backyard, you know, with all the spotlights on, just like, I can't, I'm going to lose my shit. But then they're cute. I don't fucking know.
I know.
Maybe I'll be a horrible mother. I don't know.
I know. I think you'd crush it. Actually, you'd be like the fun mom, but then like, also you've got a good amount of like sternness to you. I think when you want to, that even if you feel like you're putting on the fake anger, the fanger, that your kid will go, oh shit, she's usually always fun and now she's serious. So at least that's what I try to apply with the uncle stuff. Now when I actually try to have to be bad cop, I've developed so much good rapport. And you know, it's like, I'm like, you guys remember when I bought you Barbies from 7-Eleven? Shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've done it all. You know?
I just have this feeling that I'm going to be a boy mom. I just don't know why. Like, God woke me up in the middle of the night. Because I hate sports. Sports.
Oh, really?
It's a lot. I don't get it. And I'm Southern, so I should love it. But I'm like, whatever. I just know that I'm going to have, like, a hockey team full of boys. And the tables will turn because I've talked shit about sports for so long.
Oh, yeah.
You're and then I'm going to be it. Like... Yeah, I'm going to be like the
tournament's coming up this weekend. Yeah. So,
but I'm going to be like in a fur coat with like a little cigarette getting wasted at the games, you know, cracking skulls with the other moms afterwards.
Oh my God.
But I'm just like, this is going to be it. Uh-huh. And then I'll have one gay son who will be an actor, of course. And we'll be presenting at the Tony Awards together one day. And right before we walk out, he'll push me down a flight of stairs, you know? And that's. My gay son will eventually kill me because they're going to only be one star in the family. You know, I'm like, do kids hate their parents if they're comedians?
Oh yeah. You know? Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
There's no way that like my kids will ever be like bragging about their mom. Like she does stand up. They're gonna be like, this is fucking sad.
I don't know.
Get a hobby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. But again, it's like, once they get old enough to recognize that, like, the cool life they have is from that, I think they'll probably.
Yeah.
I hear Sandler talk about a lot that his kids are, they're just now at a spot where they're, like, wanting to watch all his movies and stuff like that and like them. But up until that point, it was just, like, they didn't get it. They didn't think he was funny. But now they're seeing it as, like, right. And, you know, a lot of his movies, too, are, like, right for their, the age range they're in. Do you have people in your life that you mentioned, like people coming out of the woodwork when your dad passed, but when you got on like the Today Show and that was so cool that Maria Shriver was like geeking out, have there been people like that that either from your past that are trying to claim you now, like, I always knew you were going to be like, you were like, I remember in math class, you'd always do like funny characters that like couldn't do math. And I was like, Heather's fucking funny. Like, or, and to that part, also like other random, you know, celebs that are kind of, you know, beefing you up.
Well, there's a couple of things. It's funny doing these shows and like a couple of, you know, the frat daddies that I went to college with. It's really funny seeing some of my guy friends be like, God damn it, Heather, I knew you were funny in college. We always knew you were going to like do comedy, but like, you're fucking doing it. It's like very hard for a lot of them to wrap their head around it. Like they're like, oh, you set a goal and you're accomplishing it. Okay. It's a lot of like just straight men.
Oh yeah.
I got sorority sisters who are definitely just coming out of the grave. Like, you know, will you come to my wedding? I'm like, you know, Carol Ann, I haven't talked to you in 15 years and you weren't really nice to me in the sorority. So go fuck yourself.
I was just joking around. All those things. I was just goofing.
Yeah. I was goofing. You know, when we, you know, made you take your clothes off and circle your fat. That was a joke. And the joke's on us. You know, no, I'm kidding. If they would have done that in my sorority though, they would have helped me out. I put on like the freshman 45. I went to Ole Miss, so you just got gifts too. And
gifts.
Yeah.
The sorority thing, you know, I was an AAPI at USC and DG was right next to us. And they were so fun. And one of the few houses that I heard not as many, like, were just the girls were cooler. And I heard way less stories of like, you know, of that type of stuff, of circling and just like.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had a positive sorority experience?
We had like.
Yeah.
Oh, I had the best sorority experience. It's funny because a lot of my comedy friends are like, you were in a sorority? No fucking way. I'm like, I thrived. Like, if I could, if Jeff gets hit by a bus tomorrow, I'm going back. I'm moving into the house. I'm going to be the house mom. Like, I fucking thrived in that environment.
So social. Me too. So I loved it.
Yeah. It's really funny. People who didn't do Greek life, they have such a stigma around it. And I'm like, let me tell you this. We partied our faces off. We gave each other gifts. We did a lot of philanthropy work. And now I've got like, I'll probably get 10,000 wedding gifts. Even if I don't invite these hussies to my wedding, you know, I'm like, we were good. I fucking
yeah.
loved it.
Oh yeah.
I had a great experience. AEPI, is that, at USC, friend. That's the Jewish fraternity.
Yeah.
What up? I recently found out I'm Jewish.
Whoa. Through what?
Yeah. It's a doozy.
Through 23andMe or just like the amount of coupon books you found?
Well, my mother is so Jewish. She is Joan Rivers. Like that is who my mother is. But my mom called me like 6 months ago. I was like, you're never going to believe this. We're Jews. I knew it. So my grandmother was adopted. She was raised Italian Catholic, but her mom was an Italian Jew. So like my great grandmother is a Jew on my mother's side. So like, do I get is it bat mitzvah? Do I get a bat mitzvah?
Yeah, you do if you want. Yeah. I mean,
are you going to fucking throw it for me or what? I thought,
by the way, that yeah. That is that. I mean, if you want to talk reality show, you know, just going to go through all that with the culmination of getting a bat mitzvah. I mean, I don't know if that's must see TV, but it's
like you pick and choose TV, you know, I mean, you don't have to see it, but you
watch it in the quarantine,
you know, if you're stoned. Watching the quarantine. Have you learned anything about yourself in this quarantine?
Yeah, I'm getting a little more
like an aha moment.
I'm learning that my dad is way more into like murder docs than I thought. He was like this thing, something Kemper, which is like the guy was, I think, just a little bit creepier than Ted Bundy. It was a guy that would kill people, then take their heads off, fuck their heads, and then fuck their torsos, and then like go back and fuck the head again. I was like, Dad, this guy would double dip on the skull fucking. He's like, I don't know what that means, but yeah. He's like, I'm 76. I don't know what, I know double dip. Are we talking about chips and salsa? I'm like, no, we're talking about fucking skulls. He's like, oh yeah. No, he would go back for seconds. I think it's what you meant to say. I'm like, either way, this guy sounds like a guy you don't want to fill your brain with just what he did. But then I start watching and I'm like fascinated. My dad loves Naked and Afraid. That's a pretty entertaining show. I definitely have not watched this much reality TV ever. I used to get like doses of like, I watched a piece of an episode of a Kardashian show on a plane once and was like, I can't do this. Started to try to watch like Finding Bigfoot once. Like, nah, I know they're not going to find them.
They never found them.
They never found them. Spoiler alert. Yeah. Guess what? Yeah. And you know, I tried to watch Chopped. I enjoy it. The cooking stuff is fun. And I can't, so
it's lighthearted. There's a little bit of levity, you know.
Yeah. I jumped on Tiger King early, which I usually never do. Like Game of Thrones, I still haven't seen, and I will at some point. And I'm gonna, by the way, when I watch it, like just be filling up all my social media with like, can you guys believe just to see the rage that I met with of people being like, that already happened, man. You can't. No, nobody wants to talk about that. But
yeah,
Tiger King, I didn't want to miss. I had too many friends that were like, can you please just watch this so we can have something to talk about because it's phenomenal. And then I have people that were like, I was so grossed out by it. Like, these are the people like Joe Exotic, this guy. Like
anybody who was grossed out by it.
Fuck off.
They might be an animal activist. Like,
yeah.
The best. It is so fucking mind blowing.
Couldn't get enough.
Quick recap. I mean, it's got gay polygamy, straight polygamy, fucking lions, tigers, a lot of pyrotechnics, arson, murder for hire, no teeth, lots of meth, drug dealing, Big Brother, like anything you can imagine.
Yeah, it was
so fucking good.
How many of those types of people did you grow up around in Georgia? Because like going to see my grandparents in Oklahoma a lot. Yeah, I met some people that might have been Joe Exotic, you know, adjacent. But I feel like that's like true. That's some true. You know, the South characters are a different breed.
You know, it's funny. I grew up in Atlanta. So, you know, I wasn't getting too country. I will say that when I went to Ole Miss, when I went to Mississippi, that was fucking culture shock. And not like redneck. It was just so old money. You didn't even know. Like, I thought, oh, I grew up, you know, dad did well, went to a private school. And then you show up at Ole Miss. I was like, we are broke as a motherfucker. Like, it was wild.
Yeah, yeah.
I had such culture shock when I went to school in Mississippi. I just didn't know. I was like, Mississippi, who the fuck lives here? And everyone's like, honey, I'm from Jackson. I went to Jackson Academy. And I'm like, where is Jack? You mean Jacksonville, Florida? Like, I didn't even know what the capital of Mississippi was. Alabama, though, Alabama's redneck as fuck.
It is.
There's Birmingham, which has a lot of money. And I, listen, people from Alabama will come after me for this, but Alabama's got some people. You know, you get some mountain people right outside of Birmingham, and it's fucking crazy. But I feel like Oklahoma and Kentucky can get the rowdiest.
Oh, you know, 1,000%. Well, Kentucky, too, is like...
Have you ever done a show in West Virginia?
No.
I haven't either. I just drove through it recently. I drove through Wheeling, West Virginia. Ooh. It was like the meth capital of America, and I said, yeah, it feels pretty methy, you know?
Is there a place where your fans are most rampant, like... Did you have, was the tour kind of all over, or were there, we kind of hit in a specific region of the country?
I mean, we went everywhere. We started out in the South, which was just totally overwhelming. Obviously being Southern, it was crazy. My favorite shows have all been in Tennessee, Nashville, Knoxville, Memphis. It was cool. I got to, I sold out Graceland. They do shows now. And I had a security guard who was Lisa Marie's security, and I was like, just, you know, shooting the shit with him. He's like, I'm like, so how's Lisa? He's like, well, now that she got out of Scientology, she's doing a lot better. I was like, oh fuck, I'm about to get like real dirt. I got a private tour. If you sell out Graceland, you get a private tour of Graceland, Elvis's home.
Oh my
god. Midnight. And so we were in there at like 1 a.m. It's totally fucking haunted. Lights were flickering. I was like, Elvis, this is fucking crazy. So all the best shows have always been in Tennessee. So shout out to anybody in Tennessee. Where's your favorite place to perform?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, there's probably Arizona I love. I love Seattle. I'm biased. That's where I'm from. You know, L.A. is great. Like, there's a few places in the Midwest. Austin's pretty spectacular. Dallas has did the Majestic Theater there once, and that was pretty electric. Boston's pretty great. Iowa.
I'm excited to do Boston.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We're gonna do the Wilbur up there.
Actually, doing a new one that everyone's doing, the Chevalier Theater. I think, or is that in Chicago?
Chicago.
Everyone's like, do the Wilbur, but now. Yeah, I'm excited to do. I haven't done Chicago or Boston yet, but we're doing some new theater in Boston that apparently is the jam. But I'm like, the Wilbur to me is like iconic. I'm doing the Majestic in Dallas. I'm excited.
Wow. It's kind of a flawless. It's old. It's, the sound is incredible. Now, how does a live show go for you? Is it because you have Absolutely Not as your podcast, right?
Yeah. So I don't have an opener. It's just me. It's like a 90-minute show right now. I open up with some video elements and my characters because I can't take all the characters on the road. Then I open up with Brenda Carlisle, one of my characters, and then I go straight into stand-up. And then it's about 75 minutes of stand-up.
Wow.
So, and then I used to do crowd participation. Like, I try to bring in some elements of the podcast.
Yeah.
Do Absolutely Nots in the audience. And these women are so fucked up. I was like, you know what? We're just going to leave the microphone up.
They gave it
up. Like,
it
got aggressive.
Oh, because they probably feel so comfy. They're just like, oh yeah. They want to bear it all with you, like the security guard did, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they think they're just hanging out. It's like a kiki on a Saturday night with a fuck ton of White Claws. I actually had to start doing PSAs saying, like, hey guys, I'm actually concerned about everyone's safety. Like, just so you know, I know I'm your best friend on the internet, but you are coming to a professional show from a professional performer. Like, one woman in Tampa just shit her pants, disappeared, left her jeans in the bathroom. We had to like hold the show because they're like, we don't know who's fucking like designer jeans these are. Like, literally the security guard Tony was like, I have no fucking idea, but we got a ghost pooper. Like, somebody pooped and then ran, and we're like, we don't know who the fuck it is. But the line for the bathroom's around the block because we gotta like clean up the shit. I'm like, I was like, ladies, if we're shitting ourselves before the show, we need to reel it back in.
Time to take a look in the mirror at the end of the night and again in the morning. By the way, it's good that it's only a one-time thing, because if that became like, I wonder how many times your fans have to shit their pants and ghost the show. to where you're like, oh, what am I, what do I need to change my show? Because like, what am I doing that's making them not think about bowel movements and where you might have to do them?
Oh, I had to take a real hard look inside because I'm, you know, I drink and have a good time, but I'm not a heavy drinker. Like, it's not, I was like, fuck, am I giving out the persona that I'm just a raging alcoholic and like my life is spiraling? I mean, it got crazy. And then I just realized, you know, a lot of these women are just, they're having to navigate the new comedy space.
Oh, yeah.
I don't fucking know.
Also, the show and your show. Oh, go ahead. Well, I say your show.
No, go ahead.
You're, you know, you're so personable and have such a way to make people immediately feel comfy, like they can, again, making someone feel comfy, like they can not only say that stuff to you, but then as they're watching, they're, you know, like, oh, I can be, I can kind of be a little bit wilder tonight because, you know, she, I feel comfortable and she's not going to judge and she'll kind of, if something happens, she'll spin it into a joke. And, you know, I forget this too, that a lot of times when I try to give benefit of the doubt, you know, and not kick out immediately. And I like doing a lot of crowd work and to try to make the moment work with the moment to try to spin it into something for everybody. But I forget sometimes that, you know, a couple or a group of gals, whoever it is, they do get so fucked up. It's like, oh, that is, and I try to say this before I, and give them a chance to kind of shut up. They're like, well, this is your guys is like you one night this month to go out. So you're going for it, blah, blah, blah. And then try to like get a little dialogue and make some, you know, get some sort of a moment for everybody. And then kind of also let them know like, all right, but now it's, we got to like move on from this. And then sometimes they take the hint and cue, and sometimes they don't. And I, you know, I had one group in Sacramento once. I ended up buying, it was my first time at this club, and I just bought shots for, it was a Thursday night show. It's only about 120 people there. So I bought everybody a shot because this table was so loud and obnoxious. I kept trying to give them chances. And then finally one girl in the group just goes, they finally quieted down. And then I went back and was like, ladies, you just got it. Like, tonight's not about you. We've done this three or four times, this dance. And one of them just goes, and I go, what's your name, by the way? You seem like the ringleader. She goes, Nanya. And I go, Nanya what? She goes, none your fucking business. And all the girls started laughing. And I go, you know what? Get the fuck out of here. And then I kicked them all out and bought everybody in the room shots because I needed like an immediate way to like get the room back, even though everyone was on my side.
Right.
Because they saw that I was kind of giving them chances. And there was this old man in a Dr. Pepper shirt, right? And I kind of had some fun banter with him. It was probably, you know, early 70s. And I go, sorry guys, that those girls, they were just being, and the guy goes, cunts. And I go, I didn't want to say it, but that was just what the doctor ordered. I go, tequila for everybody. And like my buddy who works there was like, dude, we still talk about that night because it was so just crazy. But it was like, I had so much, you know, I wanted to do right by the club. And I was like, in my head, I was like, if like I don't handle this, I'm not going to get let back because it kind of gotten out of control. So it's probably smart that you don't involve the crowd that much. And I'm sure they do, though, at this point, scream out catchphrases, ask for characters.
Oh, yeah.
How do you deal with that?
It's been interesting because, listen, we've all, when we started in this business, dealt with, you know, hecklers or whatever, but it's like really positive reinforcement heckling. Good. You know, they just want to yell out things that they know about you. So I'll be in the middle, though, of setting up a joke, and they'll just yell, like, you know, my sister's dog's name, like Bronson. And I'm like, yes, is the name of my sister's dog. Now shut the fuck up, McKenzie. I'm setting up a joke.
McKenzie.
You know, yeah, it's always like a Madison or McKenzie. Oh, and and I started then just making my character Brenda at the top of the show being like, don't yell out goddamn things you know about her, the size of her titties, you know what I mean, where she's from. She knows that y'all know this. Because I forget that I do, between the podcast and Instagram, I do give so much out. But it only backfired on me once. My last show, it was like the weekend before Christmas. I was playing in San Diego. It was an amazing show. And I'm setting up these like dead dad jokes. And I'm just like, hey guys, I hope you don't mind, you know, if I start telling some stories about my dad. Literally before I can even get the words out, this lady yells, he died of cancer. She was so fucked up. And I just, like, something snapped in me, and it took everything in me. And I could see my producer across, and he was like, don't fucking do it. I was like, I wanted to just ruin this woman's life. Because I was just like, fuck, we know, you know? And I wasn't even upset about the cancer thing, but I was like, it's my job to set up the cancer joke.
Yes.
But we know. And I got off stage, and I was like, I don't, thank God this was the last show of the year. Because your girl's about to fucking flip, you know? I mean, it's just wild. It's like, great. We're so glad, McKenzie, you know that because I've shared that. Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
What was it? Are you good for like 10 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Tell me real quick, just, I know you've talked about it, but how cool the Today Show experience was, and just, you know, cause that is such a, like, you know, it's on like the Mount Rushmore of daytime, morning, whatever you want to call it. And whether, you know, you didn't get to, you know, receive pervy eyes from Lauer, but getting to be with Hoda is like pretty fucking cool. And just to be on set there and to have, and
no, she's such a professional. I almost shit myself.
Oh yeah. But for them to like talk about you and then, right. Cause that's how it happened. They kind of were like talking about how they were like fanning out.
So it was such a crazy thing. And I talk about this in my stand up, but real quick, like I was on this like quote unquote influence retreat for Lululemon back in Malibu. And Maria Shriver had been co-hosting with Jenna and Hoda.
Wait, what's an influencer, influencer retreat?
I don't know what the fuck it is. It's basically where they invited a bunch of like models and like professional athletes. And then there was me. I'm like, I'm not an Instagram influencer. I'm a comedian who just like talks about shit that I like. I'm like, all right, you know, cool. This is where I get my vagina waxed. I'm on down. And so I had gotten really high with a bunch of NBA players because, you know, none of the yoga wimp models would hang out with me at this retreat. Oh, it was like this all expense paid trip. So I get really high one night with all these professional athletes. Again, they like me because I hate sports. So I don't know who anybody is. I'm not impressed. They're all like Clippers players. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck these guys are.
Oh my God.
Heather's down the clown. So I wake up the next morning. I literally am so high in my bed. I peed the bed. So I couldn't get up. I was like that high where you can't put your legs and your torso together to get up to pee.
Been there.
So I pee in the bed. Yep. I wake up the next morning in my like Lululemon men's tracksuit because that was the only thing that fit me. And I'm like, it's like steam heat. And I have like 800 missed phone calls. Everyone on the East Coast texts me, oh my God, Maria Shriver's talking about you on the Today Show. How you're her favorite comedian. You have to come on. Then the Today Show starts calling me. So I'm like still high.
Wait, real quick. Like, wait, please tell me for a second. You were like, do they want to go like live to me on FaceTime? And if they did, would you have picked up and been like, guys, just peed myself at a wellness retreat in Malibu. Good to see you. Is Katie still there?
100%. Yeah. Well, I was still so high. I kind of was like in this alternate universe. Like, is this actually happening? So then the Today Show producer called me like, we got to get you to New York ASAP. So I'm like, oh, fuck. So I'm like packing up my shit. I'm like, I'm going on the Today Show like in 24 hours. It was fucking nuts. I was just so worried. I mean, like, listen, you're a late night guy. Getting on a morning show the whole time at the commercial break, I'm like, did I just say fuck? What the fuck did I just say?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was so afraid that I was going to be loosey goosey and say something inappropriate. They never invite me back, but they've had me back since. So now I'm like, Hoda, watch out. Come up for your job, girl. That's what's good. She did tell me though. She pulled me aside in the hallway. Cause I've been back a couple of times now. And she's like, just so you know, this is the best gig in television. You want this job. And I was like, oh shit. Okay.
Whoa. Yeah. Uh-huh. It really is, by the way. Like, right? I mean, they do, what do they do? Like, is it 10 to noon? No, 7 to 10?
Well, Hoda does like all of the hours, but Jenna pops in at like 9:30 for a meeting. She's done by 11. Oh. You know, you're getting a nap by noon. Deuces. It's the fucking best.
Yeah. By the way, you would fucking, I mean, you crushed the first appearance I saw. Was just like, you were, again, that you were yourself, but you had good energy too, which it's like, you don't want to, at that time slot, like you can't be too in someone's face. Cause then it's just very, you're like, dude, no one's that like Kelly Ripa, I'm sure is the shit. And it looks like it. And I've heard nice things, but that's too much for me. I'm like, you got to find
who's that spunky.
Nobody is. So I know you're full of shit. And if you are, I also don't want to see that. Like when you're just like, oh my God, did they really? So I found a new protein bar. I fucking did. And you're like, dude, nobody said you didn't. You can just talk about it like a person would. But yeah, you had a perfect amount of, and you could tell you were making them laugh, which I think is key. Cause again, they've seen and done it all. So it's like a new energy is welcoming.
I mean, it was a wild experience in the sense of like reading a, like prompter and cue cards. I was like, Hoda, I first co-hosted with Jenna. I was like, I have no idea. She's like, I got you. And I was like, Hoda, I still don't know how to read this prompter. Hoda literally was like, what are we doing next? Oh, okay. There's a kid on here who, you know, runs an animal rescue, and she like throws the cards behind her, and I'm like, this bitch is fucking savage. She's like, I got you. Like, they just, I mean, it happens so fast.
Yeah.
So to all of the NBC news reporters, y'all are operating on a level I don't even understand. Yeah. They are the fucking bad bitches of a journalism for sure. It was crazy.
Can we close this out by doing a little, maybe I'd love to have Jeremy be visiting Brenda for a little improv for maybe looking at new apartments or condos in Atlanta.
Yeah, hold on. I got a jacket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I love this. I don't have a wig, but it's okay.
Okay, so you probably saw my email. I was actually commenting a lot in the comment board for trying to find a place, but I'm new in town, and my friends say that downtown Atlanta is like the shit, and that like that's where all the rappers live. And since I just started beatboxing, I thought maybe I could be around my fellow my peers. But I also go ahead. I want to be near a grocery store, like a Harris Teeter's or a Safeway, somewhere that's got like big, like sells wheat bread in bulk.
Okay, here's the deal. I don't understand. You know, are you trying to go to Magic City? Because, honey, nobody's going to let you in Magic City with those goddamn braces. I'm going to tell you that right now. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. There's no way. Can you afford a table? That's the only reason you want to be downtown, sugar tits. I'll tell you what.
Well, first of all, no one's ever called me sugar tits before. That was fucking cool. That's like when a black guy calls you the N-word. Do you think that?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, how close is Magic City from a grocery store?
Specifically Harry's Teeter?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, we don't have Harry's Teeters in Georgia, and I'll tell you why. Because that fucking name's – I mean, who wants to go into a store named Harry's Teeter? I'm not. That's what I used to call my uncle. He's in jail. Don't ask questions.
Oh, shit.
Now, we got
badass.
Yeah. Well
– What did he do?
Badass to some. He diddled. He diddled my my cousin Sue Ellen. Diddled her for a couple years.
Fuck.
So, yeah. You know, she's okay. She, you know, is transitioning to a man now. She does not want to go by Sue Ellen. It is now.
That's fucking cool.
You know, Sean.
I always told my mom because she's, you know, by herself and she's like having trouble getting back out there dating. And I was always like, you know. Fuck, maybe just switch it up. Like, be a dude and like see what the field's like on that side of life. But you know, this is all through Facebook.
Hey, honey,
she lives in Brazil.
She lives in Brazil.
Yeah,
what did you get in Brazil?
Well, she's okay. Fucking getting super personal. Table for two. She right now she's teaching sign language to kids. It's a whole thing. Like basically, she went on a retreat. To basically find herself, like find your spirit animal. Mm-hmm. Like apparently spirit animals.
That's what they all do.
Yeah. And there's like a whole, there's a whole documentary on Netflix about it, which I watched a couple times and was like, I'm just thinking it's a fucking scam. But she went anyway because she had like a, what is it? Inheritance from my grandpa. He was a really big like anime porn artist. And so he had much money. And that's why also, I have money to spend on a place, which is why I want to not settle for anything small. I kind of want to live the baller lifestyle. So,
okay. So you're like telling me your budget is anime porn budget.
Oh, yeah.
Anime porn. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I think you'd do better in like an Inman Park, maybe like West Paces, Buckhead area.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I've sold to another fellow who got a little bit of an anime porn inheritance. Lucrative. Tell you what,
yeah,
you're cash heavy, you're cash flowing, and that's
fuck,
is what it is. Yeah. How many bed and bath? What kind of square feet? Do you want an ensuite bathroom? You want a 6-car garage? I need details.
Well, I think right now I just have an electric bike, so garage is kind of something I don't really need. But one bedroom, as long as it has like one of those. As long as the bathroom is like connected to a second bathroom, because sometimes, you know, I'm lactose intolerant, so sometimes I need a second bath. Like if perchance I meet a special friend on the internet,
you clog the first.
cognitive first, and let's say I meet a girl on a Fortnite chat room and she comes over and she's like, ooh, I wonder what his penis smells like. And I've like done something to the bathroom. I want her to be able to still come in the house without having to smell what I did. So I say three bathrooms. Oops. Three bathrooms.
Okay, hold on. Let me get this straight.
Yeah.
She's going to smell your dick. She's just going to smell it.
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Smell your dick. Okay. Yeah.
Well, what does foreplay consist of where you're from?
Actually, I want to ask you that because I recently caught my ex-husband Richard cheating on me with our Asian dog nanny Ling Ling. I don't know if you know this, but I'm barren. I can't have children. But I have two golden doodles named Brooks and Dunn. And, you know, I hired her because I'm so – yeah, I'm a lucrative real estate agent. So I hired Ling Ling to watch her dogs. They're like children to me.
Yeah.
And, well, Richard, who is a big general contractor here in Atlanta, he ran off with her. You know, it is what it is. So I'm back on the dating scene. I'm on the Bumbles. And I got to be honest with you. I'm not eating ass. I don't understand it. You know, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. You're not going where the sun don't shine. And it's not because I'm not freaky. You know, I've let my hair down. But yeah. I don't, like you, it's touch and go with the gluten. And I don't need somebody getting in my under region with, you know, the tip of their tongue. And then trying to come back at me, licking my lips. I just don't understand why you go from the booty back to the mouth. Can you break that down? And you got girls smelling your dick. So
sure. Well,
you know, more power to you.
Well, first of all, I completely agree with what you're saying about eating ass. Like that's like the TikTok generation. Like, ooh, let's do a fun dance. Let's like eat each other, like butt chugging, Tide Pods, butt eating.
Yeah.
Like dick smelling happened like way before that. Like that's actually, if you do your research, like that's like a 1987 move. But so it's also like what kind of person you're into. Like for me, you know, yeah, we could go to dinner. I could tell you where I'm from. I could tell you my favorite color. You know, do I know where Waldo is? Mm-hmm. No. Do I own one of the books though? Just because I want to seem like a reader. Yes. But some girls don't want to kiss on the first date and they like want like, look.
Oh, I'm all in. I'm deep throat. I'm hand job. Call me old fashioned. I miss a hand job. Yeah, I usually show up with coconut. I do volunteering at the local hospital. I go into essentially where people are about to pass. I show up with a fanny pack full of coconut oil. I do two dips and two tugs. So, you know, I basically am trying to get people, read them their last rites and give them their last Randy, if you will.
That's fucking
so don't
sweet.
Say I never volunteered. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's called hospital hand jobs, and we're taking it nationwide. I'm trying to get more volunteers. If you have some free time, you know, there are plenty of gay men who would need a little, you know, rub and tug right before they die. If you're, you know, I could sell you a home and you could join my charity if you're down, hospital hand jobs.
If that's how it needs to happen, I am fucking in. As long as.
Okay, great.
Yeah, as long as I can go to Magic City and see Big Mama squirt a couple of beer cans with her boobs, because I've read about
that. Okay, that's Claremont Lounge. That's Claremont Lounge, the Magic City. Yeah, Magic City's more where they let Drake in. You got to have a table. It's expensive, but it's a good time. I'll tell you this right now. I have a recurring table, if you will, at Magic City. So, honey, when you got old money, you know, old money, new money. Hell, it's all money to me, but I got old money. Got an old money table down there.
Who said that?
I'll also tell you the Claremont Lounge.
Somebody famous said that. Yeah. Old money, new money. That's money to me. That's like a old money, new money. It's money
Kevin
to
Hart.
Me. Kevin Hart. That guy's fucking cool. That guy.
He's actually my crush. That's who I want. I want a small African American man. My next date is that's the way I'm going.
Yeah, I want a big Asian woman, like a 300-pound Asian, like she looks like she could sumo, but she's like, hey, bitch, I just do massage.
Right. Well, I mean, hell, everybody needs a good masseuse, and I'll tell you what. I don't know about you, but I go to Espasa Del. I do the Massage Envy. I hold a lot of
Massage Envy.
My traps.
Massage Envy. Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you ever get happy endings there? Do you get happy endings? Because I've not been offered one. And to be honest with you, time's up, me too. Put me in, coach. You know what I mean? I'm waiting on somebody to step in and harass my grundle.
What I found is that don't ask for it at the front desk. So.
Okay,
don't walk in and say, they go, hey, do you want a man or a woman? And you go, I'm not getting jerked off by a dude. That's when they go, wait, what? We don't do that. And then you go, not with that attitude. So I haven't been back in a minute. So I'd say right now I'm probably more of a soothe guy. I'd use the app or one of those like
type. So you have people coming in home. Okay.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
See, this is good to know. You need to have a discreet way to get your masseuse into your.
Yes.
You want a one bedroom.
One bedroom, no garage.
Two baths. Discreet, back door.
No windows, Wi-Fi, and just a space for like three microwaves. Shit.
Oh fuck! I got a place for you right now. I gotta listen, honey. Soul, I gotta listen for you.
Great.
It's a warehouse behind Magic City. No windows. You will have to possibly deal with some trafficking, but just look the other way.
Yeah, Jesus. Oh, you know, sorry, sex trafficking again. Like I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Lana's a little bit of a hub, you know. Yeah, but other than that, honey, I'll show you tomorrow. I'll take you out. We'll sign the contract. Closed. Done. Signed, sealed, delivered. It's yours.
I'll see you tomorrow. Scene. Oh, man.
I fucking love that lateral lift. Just that right there.
I know.
So good.
It's such an easy trick. Yeah, they fell off twice. She made this, like, nice teeth mold for me, but I took them off, and then I was doing some video, and I accidentally like blew them off from saying like "fuck," and it like flew off my mouth, and then it snapped in half. So I have to be really careful when I put them on. But yeah, pretty cool. Do you have any like extra prop things like this other than the wigs to play around with? That coat is fucking phenomenal.
This is just like my Dolly Parton jacket. This is actually just in. You know, my Rolodex of outfits.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was funny when we were leaving, we were like bugging out of New York. We got down here right before really shit hit the fan. I was like, I feel like this is, I saw the writing on the wall. I just threw a bunch of wigs in a bag because I usually wouldn't travel with that. I was like, we're in a pandemic. And Jeff's like, we have 2 hours to get to the airport, pack. And he's like, why are you packing a carry on full of wigs? I'm like, because we're going to need to do content. Shut the fuck up. Call the Uber. You know, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Some people are doctors and they save lives, and others, we wear wigs and braces. And you know what?
Yeah.
Say lovey.
You're making a lot of people happy, and I'm sure you get those messages flooded into your inbox daily. But this was fucking rad. Thanks for making time.
This is so fun. Thank you for having me. I've been a huge fan forever. And when I come out to crazy. LA, I'm going to get to see some of your shit.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Isn't that weird?
I know. We got to jam on something. Or if you're ever in a, you know, what'd be cool too is if this has happened with a few of my friends' bands. We've been in the same cities and get to kick it. And one, I even did a set before, which unannounced was probably it was in Phoenix, was the Goo Goo Dolls. And they were like, oh, do a set before we come out. And I was like, oh, cool. But it was like a really intimate, like 1,000 seat rock venue. And they didn't tell anyone that there was going to be comedy. So, you know, they were waiting for, you know, Iris and all the hits. And so I come and, man, they were fucked up. I didn't realize how drunk Goo Goo Dolls crowds got, but they were not receptive. So, but it is cool to like, you know, go to people's shows and like, I don't know if you ever do, you know, bring people up, but that'd be a fun thing to do.
Listen, I would, are you single?
No, I have a girlfriend.
Okay. I was going to say, if you were single and I could bring you up and like auction your ass off, these women, you would leave with 20 wives.
You could auction me off as Jeremy.
Yeah. Bro, no, yes, I will 100% auction you off.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
They would fucking lose their shit. I'll bring you out and then be like, this is our bachelor for the night. And then you just come out as Jeremy and they'll just be like, what the fuck?
I mean, dude, put those bracelets on and beatbox like for a special lady, like maybe get people's names and what they do. And I could do these like improvised raps about them to try to like,
listen, let's do this at my LA show. I'm playing the ace. Let's do this at my LA show.
I love the ace.
Everyone in LA tonight.
Oh my God.
I'll bring you out. This will be so fucking funny. It'll be amazing. Yeah.
That's so good. Wow. The fucking ace. Good for you. That's wow. Unbelievable.
Listen, it's awesome. I also feel like I've got a little bit of imposter syndrome. I'm like, am I going to wake up tomorrow and we're in a pandemic? Apparently so. So, you know, I'm just grateful and it's cool. And I'm just glad women are coming out to see shows. You know what I mean?
That's so
awesome.
I, my sister's a big fan of you too. So, we'll have to, get her out when you do that show at the Ace. Or you'll probably play Seattle at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. I just played Seattle and one of the best shows ever.
Oh, yeah? Oh, good. Crowd. Oh, good.
Pacific Northwest is like rowdy and a good time. It was so much fun.
They turn up, yeah.
Play the Neptune.
Oh, yeah.
The Neptune.
Used to be a movie theater. I went and saw Blair Witch there in 2001, and then they turned it into a show venue. Yeah, it's killer. That's awesome. Wow.
Fully haunted, 100%.
How can you tell?
How can you not tell? The dressing rooms in all these theaters are just up in the attic. You're like winded by the time you get up there. You feel like a ghost touching your breast. I'm like, I think I just went to third base with the fucking ghost. Is it cheating? I don't fucking know. And you're like, all right, I'm into it. As long as I have a great show, finger me. I don't care. I just want to have a good show.
Oh my
God. So it's been, it's been crazy, but I love it. Listen, definitely come to the show in LA. It'll be so much fun. We push it to the fall. And then when I'm back out, obviously I want to come see you perform because
you've
been one of my favorite comics for a long time.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, this was a treat. Thanks for making time and enjoy your margarita.
And good luck.
Add a Robin for me.
I will. I got to make another margarita.
Yeah. All right, Heather. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Do you need something to listen to next? Well, check out this other show from Cast Media.
Whoa.
There's something down there.
I'll be back.
I was way off.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
They don't make the movie.
The movie ends, and I remember going, either that's the most brilliant movie ever, or we're so freaking effed.
But they can make or break it.
The trailer was great. When they saw it, they realized that the movie was going to be great.
From DG Entertainment and Clio Entertainment.
I'll tell you the dark but funny truth about the whole thing.
Trailer geeks and teaser gods.
Oh, this is amazing. I can't believe people get paid to do this.
The fate of the movies is in their hands.
And the fate of our podcast is in your hands. So please subscribe to Trailer Geeks and Teaser Gods on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts.